Welcome, everybody. Tonight we are in the book of Acts, chapter 22. Paul's defense, I was freeborn. And this is noting the status that he was as a Roman citizen, but it leads to the greater context that if the Son has made you free, you shall be free indeed. And thus Hannah's going to play Amazing Grace. As we shall see, there were great benefits in Roman citizenship, but there are even greater privileges in our heavenly citizenship. Hannah's going to play Victory in Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.
It was Paul's Roman citizenship that spared him from the flogging and from the potential for death. He had been called by God to go to the Gentile nations as the ambassador for the kingdom of Christ. And thus he appealed to his Roman citizenship to prevent him from this illegal action. It is our status as redeemed children of God that spares us from the condemnation that would otherwise face us as a punishment for our sin. Dan, would you sing hymn number 698, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace?
Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it, and I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy had saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great privileges that we have as citizens of heaven. We thank you for the deliverance that you have given us from the punishment that we would otherwise deserve. And even as Paul was spared from the illegal act of scourging by virtue of his Roman citizenship, we thank you that by the shed blood of Christ we are spared from your wrath that we would otherwise deserve. We thank you and praise you for so great a salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Dan, would you read this passage tonight? It's Acts 22, verses 21 to 30.
And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know for they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. And the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them.
Thank you. Before we turn to this passage tonight, as we often do, we commemorate a date in history. It was November the 20th, the year 1850. That was the date that a 29-year-old blind teacher by the name of Francis J. Crosby was saved. Fanny Crosby, as we know her, was born in 1820, and she was blinded shortly after birth. But as she was nearly 30 years old, she had a very disturbing dream. A dying friend of hers encouraged her to meet him in heaven. We're not given the entire details of what led to that point of conversion, but apparently she had been hearing some truths from the Word of God, and she came under conviction, and she became a Christian that night. And for the next 65 years, until her death at age 95, she wrote hymns prolifically. She wrote over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs, and many of them are still in use today among the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thus we remember the faith and the conversion of Fanny Crosby. Tonight we are in this 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. I was freeborn. And the backdrop of this, of course, is the arrest of the Apostle Paul. And we're given the details of that here in this section, beginning with verse 21. He received the word of the Lord, saying, Depart, I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. The Lord had commissioned Paul to be the apostle to the Gentile world. And thus, he had God's authority to go and to proclaim the gospel. But that was not well received by the Jews. And as we see here, when they heard that, they listened intently to him up to that point. But upon that word, or until that word, then they became very irate. And they cried out, Away with this fellow from the earth, saying that he had no right to live. They were actually calling in a mob mentality for his murder, or at the very least for him to be executed by the Roman authorities. So the next verse tells us that they cried again, they cried out with a loud voice, and they tore their clothes off, their outer garments. And this is much like the situation in Acts 7 where Stephen was confronted by the Jewish mob. And they tore off their outer garments and handed them to a young Saul of Tarsus, this very apostle Paul. And they took up stones to slay Stephen for what they believed was his blasphemy. And we have that same mentality here being demonstrated by this Jewish mob. The crowd is demanding his death. And though they were not in a position to execute him, they took up dirt and threw it into the air in simulating casting of stones, wishing that they could themselves stone Paul for what they believed was his blasphemy. Earlier in chapter 21, in verse 28, they had used this same accusation against him, that this man taught everyone against the people and against the law and against this place, claiming that he had even brought Greeks into the temple, corrupting or polluting that holy place. So we see here an attitude of superiority being demonstrated by these religious Judaizers. They felt that one must be a Jew. One must be a Jewish proselyte in order to have a relationship with God. But the knowledge of God through the shed blood of Christ was not merely a faith that was handed down from generation to generation. It was not something that they could claim merely by their ethnicity or their national origin. It was a personal relationship that came only through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Jews did not recognize that, and they hated Paul for the message that he was carrying, this hope of salvation, this news of a Savior to the Gentile world. The Jews regarded the Gentiles as dogs, as nothing but animals. And therefore, they didn't believe them worthy of conversion. They didn't believe them worthy of a relationship with God. And even more importantly, they felt that any hint of such was actually an insult to them as God's chosen people, as they perceived it. So they took up their dirt and their stones and threw it into the air as if they could stone Paul. But this all caused such a ruckus that the Roman authorities took note. And the chief captain sent his soldiers and brought Paul into the castle so that he might know what the reason for this great uproar was, why the crowd was so upset with this Paul. And the typical way in which the Romans determined such, whether it was to coerce a confession of guilt or whether it was merely as an interrogation method or a technique to get further information out of a prisoner, they prepared to scourge him, to flog him. And the Roman method of flogging was that they would tie his hands to pillars and stretch him out in preparation for flogging. The flogging was done usually with either bone or metal sewed into leather straps. And they would beat them extensively, often even to the point of death, in order to either extract a confession or to seek to get further information. And all of this was done as the Romans typically did carry out such a method. But as the centurion was standing by, observing his soldiers carrying out this interrogation, Paul says to the centurion, "Is it lawful to scourge a Roman and uncondemned?" Paul knew the law. He knew the law as a Roman citizen. He was born in Tarsus, a free city. And thus, he was a Roman citizen. And there might be some who criticize Paul for recognizing a national citizenship, an earthly citizenship of a civil government that's run by man. And in this case, particularly, heathen men. The Roman Empire was a pagan empire, a polytheistic, autocratic dictatorship. And yet Paul knew his rights and his privileges as a Roman citizen. And that prevented him from having to endure such an unjust action as being scourged, as being flogged, as a method of interrogation. And he says, is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman and uncondemned? It was certainly illegal for any Roman citizenship not only to be scourged, but also to even to be put to the risk of death for a crime for which he had not yet been convicted. So this was a serious violation of Roman law. And thus, the captain is advised immediately. The centurion runs to the chief captain, and he says, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Immediately, the preparation for the flogging stops. They had tied him to the pillars. They were ready to begin. But this ceases immediately when they realize that he's a Roman citizen. And the chief captain comes and he interrogates Paul further. He says, art thou a Roman? And Paul responds, yea, yes I am. The chief captain says, with a great price purchased I my freedom. And he's reminding Paul that he has privileges as a Roman commander. But Paul says, I was freeborn. It was common practice for those who paid great sums of money or did great acts of service to the empire that they would be granted their freedom. If they were indentured servants or if they were slaves, they could earn their freedom either by purchasing it or by doing some great deed, some great service to the empire or to the emperor directly. But Paul reminds this chief captain, but I was freeborn. He was born in Tarsus, a free city. The city of Tarsus had been freed by Mark Antony years before Paul's birth. And therefore, when he was born, the son of a Roman citizen and a Jewish mother, his Roman citizenship was established. And thus, he was born a free man. And this brought terror into those who were preparing this scourging, this flogging that they were about to do. They departed immediately. They ran for the hills, so to speak. And this even brought fear into the heart and the mind of the chief captain, because he was in a very dangerous position. If his superiors got word of the fact that he was preparing to scourge a Roman citizen, his career would have been over. And thus he was very afraid. But this prompted an end to the interrogation. He was released from his bands. And the next morning, the chief captain summoned the Sanhedrin, the Jewish authorities, the council, and set Paul before him. He wanted to find out further why they had raised such a fuss about this particular prisoner. It's probable that he sought some favor in the eyes of the Jews. Many of the Roman military governors and military officials often sought some kind of cooperation among the Jewish subjects because they preferred to have a peaceful situation. They would often make concessions to their subjects so that they could have an easier time of the military occupation. So he's still desirous of finding out why the mob had so accused Paul, but he was very afraid in the fact that he had prepared to scourge a man who turned out to be a Roman citizen, and particularly one who was uncondemned. He was not convicted of any crime, and yet he very nearly suffered a scourging that might have taken his life. Paul appealed to his Roman citizenship to deliver him from this unjust treatment. And there are many, many people today who believe that Christians should simply surrender and submit to any civil government for any reason. And while Romans 13 does indicate that civil governments have been ordained by God, that same passage reminds us that those civil governments have responsibilities and obligations even to Almighty God for the way in which they govern. It is their task to maintain peace and to protect the interests of those citizens who do what is right and do what is good. And it's the responsibility of that same civil government to punish the evildoers, the wicked. For that reason, they've been given, as Paul says, the power of the sword. But those civil governments do not have a blank check to do whatever they wish to do to whomever they wish to do it. And Paul used his Roman citizenship here and in other places to deliver himself, as he had earlier delivered himself and Silas from unjust treatment because he was a Roman citizen. And thus, Paul recognized that his status, his citizenship in the Roman Empire, was indeed a blessing from God so that he might be delivered and rescued to fulfill the purpose, the calling that God had on his life. He was commissioned to be the Gentile apostle, the messenger to the Gentile world. And though he had once been a Jew among Jews, he was the Pharisee of Pharisees, now he's being sent as the deliverer of the message of salvation to the Gentile nations. And thus, this was a proper use of his citizenship, his earthly citizenship, so that he might carry out the task that God had called him to do. There were thus great benefits in being a Roman citizen. It saved Paul's life. But it was by the grace of God, it was by the mercy of God, that he was in such a position at such a time, for such a time as that. Even as Queen Esther was brought to be queen of the Empire of Babylon for such a time as that. So we too must recognize that these often are great privileges to be in wherever God has placed us, in whatever time frame he has allowed us to exist. But how far greater it is to be not just a citizen of the Roman Empire or not just a citizen of the United States of America, but to be a citizen of heaven, to be a child of the King. Dan, would you sing hymn number 720?
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered o'er earth as the poorest of them, but now he is reigning forever on high.
Paul experienced deliverance because of his status as a free-born citizen of Rome. But we have much greater freedom to be born again. For John 8:36 reminds us that if the Son shall therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.